Let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
To sing praises to your name, O Most High.
The righteous flourish like the palm tree. They are planted in the house of the Lord.
They flourish in the courts of our God.
They still bear fruit in old age.
They are ever full of sap and green.
To declare that the Lord is upright.
He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Thank you.
blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Holy Trinity is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the 17th chapter. Thus says the Lord, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous,
but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly,
nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord,
and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither.
And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
The ungodly are not so,
but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away.
Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment,
nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous,
but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous,
but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the 5th chapter. We know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put our heavenly dwelling on, and if indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in this body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yet we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before judgment, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. We are as known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are besides ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was a man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from the Gospel reading. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants." This is our text. Why did Jesus come? For what purpose did he live, die, rise, and ascend to the Father's right hand? We believe that he did it for the church. And yet we should be clear what we mean by the church. It wasn't because Jesus loved church buildings and wanted lots of them that he came, lived, and died, and rose again. Beautiful architecture didn't seem to impress him. You might recall at one point when he visited the temple, he talked about how one stone would not be left upon another. And he never once expressed a desire to have buildings named after himself. Why did Jesus come? It wasn't because he loved crowds and wanted to start a social movement. Of course, we know there were many crowds that followed him, at least up until Gethsemane. But he could have had larger crowds. He could have kept them longer if he wanted to. If he'd been willing to give them what they were asking for, more miracles, easier teachings, if he'd gotten with the times. Why did Jesus come? It wasn't because he loved the worship, liturgy, and hymns that we love. He said that a time was coming when people would worship the Father in spirit and truth, but he didn't give the apostles a church order to follow, vestments to wear, or a hymnal to use. Why did Jesus come? It wasn't because he loved founding institutions or denominations. He never filled out a 501c3 form or incorporated with the state. Nor did he give directions on how to do that. He didn't set out to establish the church in that way, not even the Lutheran Church or our own Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now, don't misunderstand. I don't mean that Jesus was against any of these things. He's not against church buildings or congregations or divine worship or even denominations. All of these are important. They're necessary for the life of the church. They exist for good reasons. There's a whole history and tradition behind these things. We Christians live in particular times and places, and our life together has a particular shape and form. All of those things can help serve the main purpose for which Jesus came, but they are not the main purpose. If we become only focused on the buildings or our gathering or all of these things, then we've missed out on why Jesus came. The world may think of the building as the church, but that's not what we mean. Why did Jesus come? He came to plant a kingdom. Very simply, he came to plant a kingdom. That's how he describes his purpose, his work, planting seed, seeing it grow, and finally gathering it in. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He scatters seed, and what does the man do? He sleeps, he rises, night and day. As he goes to bed, as he gets up, what happens? What happens apart from him, not by his own doing? It's not just day after day after day, but the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The experience that you and I might have, perhaps especially with weeds in our gardens these days. Where did that come from? The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And then what? When the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, for the harvest has come. This is how Jesus speaks about his kingdom, as seed being scattered. He doesn't express any anxiety or any worry about this kingdom. He knows how things work far better than we do. He believes in what he's doing. He believes in what he's doing, even though what he's doing will lead to a cross. He has the confidence and the trust of a man who scatters seed and then sleeps well. Father, he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. I've scattered the seed. My work is done. It is finished. And he trusted that what he'd been told would happen, that seed would sprout and grow. Do we have the same trust? Do we trust that God's word will really seed faith among us? And if we do, then why don't we make more use of that word? Do we trust that it will cause faith to grow and bear fruit? That it will produce good works and a harvest of righteousness? That it will do this not only in your life, but in the lives of those you love, your children and grandchildren and friends? Plant the seed. That's what Jesus does. Plant the seed. He plants the kingdom through his own teaching, through the gift of baptism. He sustains that seed and makes it grow through his word and the gift of Holy Communion, and it does grow mysteriously, gradually, even predictably. The kingdom grows. But I know how it is because I feel it myself as well. So often we doubt the effectiveness of God's word. We get impatient. We get frustrated. It doesn't work quickly enough for us. We don't see the results in ourselves or in others that we want or that we expect. It's our own lack of faith that leads us to look for something else, to look for something better, to look for something different than Jesus and his word. Is that why we neglect the scriptures and so often turn to other things? Is it because we believe all these other things, sports, politics, work, whatever, is it because we believe these things are more important, more real, more beneficial for us? Or do we turn to other things because we like to be entertained or distracted or even worked up? Yeah, I know what happens when we watch all of the network news. And it's true, watching plants grow isn't all that exciting. It's certainly not as exciting as cheering on a three-pointer or a home run or your favorite politician. But the kingdom of God is not like hitting a home run or making a three-pointer. It is like scattering seed. All those other things will pass away, but the kingdom of God will remain. It will remain forever. The thing that Jesus is about is not something that comes or goes or is here today and gone tomorrow. He is about a kingdom that has no end. And Jesus predicts that the future of that kingdom, though hidden now, is glorious. He knows what power lies within the seed, the power of God to make it grow. For him, the harvest is never in doubt. We wonder what the outcome will be, but he knows. He knows there will be a great and abundant harvest. He knows because Jesus is the one who died that we might live. Jesus is the one who died for all so that we have all died in him. He is the one who died for all so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but live for him who for our sake died and rose again. This is how St. Paul describes us. He says that in Christ we are a new creation. In Christ we are a people gathered by that good news of what he has done. We are the people who have been claimed by Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and now exalted at the right hand of the Father. We confess that Jesus is Lord, and we do this in the face of the world, our enemies, those who oppose us, or even simply those who don't believe what we believe. We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and this is why he came, to be your Lord, and to gather a people who confess him as Lord, and that's who we are. Jesus said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. It looks like nothing. The kingdom of God looks weak. It looks powerless. It appears to hold no promise, and its beginning is insignificant. And yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches. It becomes a tree that fills the earth so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." We marvel at the way the world works. We look at an acorn and marvel that it can become an oak. We look at a helicopter in the fall and marvel that it becomes a maple. Jesus points to the mustard seed, so small, yet so powerful. And he sees there an image of the kingdom of God. From tiny beginnings, it will grow into something large. From tiny beginnings, it will benefit people around the world and down through history. It's as if Jesus, 2,000 years ago, could look ahead and see what would become of the movement that began with him and the movement that is centered on him. As he saw the branches reaching out, extending around the world to provide refuge for many. That is what we have in Christ. He is a refuge for the weary. He is a fortress for those who are in trouble. We find peace and hope, forgiveness and life beneath his branches, under the shadow of his wings, underneath the arms of his cross. There is your hope, and there is your life, dear Christian. And we invite others to do the same. Week after week, we gather here. We gather with our hurts and our hopes. We gather with our confusions and our doubts. We gather with our faith and the temptations that are pulling us away. We gather because Christ is here, because the seed is being planted and nurtured and growing, because this is where birds of the air find refuge in his branches. The world will not love us. We know that. Perhaps we felt it, but here we have the love of Christ, our Savior. Jesus is the seed planted in the womb of Mary. He is the one who grew up into the tree of the cross with branches that stretch across the world. Like a mustard seed whose flavor is released when it's crushed, so Jesus chose to have his body crushed in the mortar of the Passion, so that the strong flavor of his eternal life might flavor and preserve us all. What is the church? It's not just the building, not just the congregation, not just the ritual or the institution. It's the rest and protection that we find together in Christ. We gather under the safety of his forgiveness. We gather in the peace of his victory over the devil. We gather in the promise of life and resurrection. And we invite others to gather with us. How might we as a congregation show that Jesus is this tree in whom we find rest and shelter and protection? We can invite others to join us because he would gather others with us. He would welcome here our family and our friends and our neighbors into his kingdom. He would invite all the birds of the air to nest in the shade of his kingdom. A kingdom that's found not only here at our Savior, but a kingdom that is spread around the world. Not only in our church body, not only in our country, but in community after community where Christ is present, there is his kingdom. Where his word is being taught, there the seed is being planted and grows. And it is a comfort for us to know the church is bigger than us. We here, we are one small branch. One small branch of a plant that's still growing and spreading. One small branch of a tree that is gathering birds from all over, people to nest in his shelter. The church is as big as the salvation won by Jesus. The church is as big as his love, how deep and wide and high and broad. Jesus said that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is. There is the place of rest. What a comfort it is to know that God has provided not only for us, but for people around the world in many nations in his kingdom. And I want to speak just for a moment to fathers, or to those who one day will be fathers. Because fathers, this is the kind of home that you seek also to provide for your family. This is the kind of shelter that you want to find, not only in the church, but in the home that you provide. A home where your loved ones and friends can find shelter in Christ, where they can find refuge in his forgiveness, where they can have peace in his promises. Cultivate that kind of home, that kind of place, that kind of life and community. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Read his word, pray, sing, give thanks and encourage your family in Christ. May he be the center of our homes and of our church. And this is where it's headed. This is what lies ahead. This is how God's word paints the future. He describes it as all kinds of birds nesting in the shade of a mighty cedar tree. Those were Ezekiel's words. People from every corner and every age gathering to Christ and sheltering in him. He describes it as a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, the heavenly dwelling that we long to put on and be part of. He describes it like this, as when the grain is ripe and the sickle is pulled out and the harvest is come. Dear friends, Christ has promised. He has promised that his seed planted will grow, and he has promised that what grows will be harvested. We look ahead to that harvest. We thank and praise him for the growth, and we pray to him now. Lord, as you have begun the good work of planting your kingdom in our world, among us and even in us, so preserve your church, cause her to grow, make her healthy, produce fruit, and do it in each one of us, that we might come at last to the full and glorious harvest. In Jesus' name. The peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the needs of the church and of the world. Most High God,
You have planted your word among us. Give good growth and health to your church here and around the world, and preserve us from the assaults of the evil one, that your people may endure every trial steadfast in Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, your Holy Spirit plants your word and causes it to sprout and grow as you please. Bless the preaching and teaching of your word. Extend your kingdom. Lead us to marvel at your work with thankfulness and joy. And send faithful laborers into the fields so that a harvest may be reaped for your glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, the great I Am, what you have spoken, you will surely do. For Jesus' sake, bless and defend our homes. Help us as parents, grandparents, godparents, and mentors to teach our children the faith and make our teaching fruitful. Preserve especially the little ones in the saving faith of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy Father, all life comes from you as a gift. Watch over Jillian and baby Penny, Carly, Marta, Liz, and all expectant mothers. Give them good health and the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual strength for motherhood. Preserve and protect the lives of all the unborn. Lead abortion-vulnerable women to places of safety. Console those crushed by their abortions, and bless the work of all pregnancy resource centers, but especially the work of First Concern, CareNet, and Clearway Clinic. Lord, in your mercy. Father, you have given us your Spirit as a guarantee, so we are bold to ask for your help. Hear us now, and grant your mercy to Ron and Mayu, that they would hold fast to your promise as he enters hospice care. As you will, rescue Blair, struggling with the spread of cancer and through his treatments. Be the strong fortress and protector of little Cadence in hospital and of her parents Danny and Camilla. In the same way, we implore your help for Gwen in her old age, Ed with his cancer, Kate through her rehabilitation and upcoming surgery, Rick in his recovery, Earl through declining health, and Stan and John with their health. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have established authority on earth to condemn what is wicked and to commend what is good. We pray that you would lead and guide our rulers, that they may walk in your ways, that they may too may call evil what is evil and good what is good. Provide for us peace and security through them. Lord, in your mercy. God of all mercy, give all who commune this day a holy fear of you and faith in your promises, that we would receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy. O God, we long for death to be completely undone. To all who mourn, but especially those who mourn AJ's death, give true peace and comfort in Christ. We ask this for his parents, James and Jamie, his sister, and their extended family and friends. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, from you all fatherhood is named. We give you thanks for earthly fathers. Give them confidence in their station and zeal for their task to care for their families faithfully. Make them examples to their children of godly life and love of your word. Bless their work of bringing up children in the fear and instruction of the Lord, and give them the comfort of your absolution over all their shortcomings. Show mercy as well to all who are fatherless on account of sin and death. Be a father to them, and provide them with other men to guide them through life. Then at the last, gather us together with all our fathers in the faith, with the patriarchs and apostles, to your eternal household, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 126, starting at the first verse. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. When our mouth is filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy, then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart from you.
Upon you and give you peace.